Hey folks, and welcome to another episode of Podcraft. This is the show about everything podcasting, from launching your show to monetization and everything in between. I'm Colin Gray, and as always, joined by Matthew. How are you doing?
Hello there.
Hello.
Very well still.
Good, good.
Remain very well.
Remain very well. We are currently recording season 10 of Podcraft, which is all about getting that first episode out into the world. So this is all about those people right at the beginning of their journey, teaching them every step you need to take to create a great show and get that episode out into the public ears. So this episode, we're talking about who are you podcasting for? Last time it was all about why are you podcasting, wasn't it? Now it's about who. So what do we talk about when we're talking about who? What's the, what are all these technical terms that we use? You know, what is it? Personas, avatars?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of jargon and quite cringeworthy terminology around this sort of stuff. But yeah. I think it's important. You're going to create a podcast and, you know, you're going to sit down and record. Who are you speaking to? Who do you want to reach?
Yeah.
Who do you want this to resonate with?
Yeah.
And an example I always give is one of myself back in the day when I seem to mention it a lot. I used to do the audio drama production podcast as if it's some big accolade, but we basically created a podcast to help teach people how to make audio drama when we weren't really, you know, that qualified to do it ourselves, to teach that. But we were starting out on a journey and we thought, let's make the podcast that would have really helped us when we started doing this. And through that, learned a lot. You know, that was a byproduct of it. But we were basically speaking to ourselves 2 years ago, 2 years prior. And the topics were all like, well, what were the questions we had? We could still remember them all. So it was really easy for us to come up with content because of that. We were talking back in time ourselves. It was like that scene in Bill and Ted.
Yeah, it's great when you've got an avatar, which is somebody you know well. So it's you. In some case, it can be yourself, isn't it? You're creating a show for people just like you. That's perfect, especially if you are able to to go back in time and speak to the less experienced version. Another thing is, it can be a real person. It can be somebody you know, can't it? Like, you probably knew some people that would match that avatar quite well as well. I'd imagine.
Yeah.
In real life.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing. Once the show was out there as well, you start getting a bit of engagement and people asking you questions and
The Mountain Bikes Apart podcast is probably a good example of this. So this is a show I run about mountain biking, and I really I originally wrote that for created that for somebody just like me. So it could be just sort of aiming, talking to myself almost. But also, I've got a bunch of friends that were just like me. We're into the same aspects of mountain biking, the same type of trails, of equipment, all that kind of stuff. So I could think of my friends. I could talk. I used to think of one particular friend that we used to go out with biking the most and was most like me in terms of personality and stuff like that. And that was who I would hold in my head. Because for me, that's the benefit of this. That's the point of creating an avatar, is that you're talking to a real person, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
What does that do to your content?
I think it helps you to direct it. I'm not sure if refine it's the right word, but it maybe is. But it helps you stay focused, basically. It helps you stay on topic, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I think it also makes it more meaningful almost. Because you feel like you're actually speaking to a real person rather than just, you know, talking into the ether. So and when you're talking to a real person, you make it more personal, funnily enough, which is what really makes it engaging, isn't it? It's like it is an actual person on the other end of the microphone there. So it just makes it more engaging, more intimate, more personal. And that's what really draws people in, I think. I think that's the start of it. If you can find, if the avatar is you, if it's 2 years ago, a past version of yourself, great. Even if it's a current version of yourself and you're just creating stuff that interests you, brilliant too, because you'll attract people just like you. If it's somebody you know, excellent as well. Like it could be a client. So a lot of businesses, their avatar might actually be perfect avatar. Their perfect listener might be somebody that they work for just now, somebody that actually pays them as a client, and they can think of that person. They can teach that person as they're speaking. Sometimes, though, you have to make it up, don't you? Like, sometimes you don't know the right person. It's not necessarily you. You're teaching somebody that maybe is in a different situation, or you're entertaining somebody in a different situation, so you make it up. In that case, that's where the kind of the term avatar really comes in, because you're creating something. It's a made-up person that you give a name, you give a personality. You talk about their dislikes, their likes, their job, their age, their kids, their family, all that kind of stuff. All that goes into making a real avatar that you can think of, that you can put in your head and speak to as you're creating the show. So that's kind of that's the starting point of it. Now, there's three sort of key things I think you always have to think about when you're creating your avatar. The first one, I think, let's go through these, Matthew. The first one, I think, is what pain are they experiencing? And that's the problem that you're solving. Like, what was your kind of big pain in the ADPP show?
It was really like there was so much to learn, and where, you know, if you want to make audio drama, there's lots to know. Where are we going to get this information? How are we going to go about doing it?
So, yeah.
The pain we were solving for people, I guess, was they wanted to make audio drama, and we thought we could hopefully help them to do it.
So the pain is, I have no idea how to make an audio drama.
Yeah. I mean, I know. Why we use the word pain, but I often feel it's quite over the top.
Yeah. But I think it's worth being over the top, because you know how hard it is to get somebody to listen to a new show. There's barriers there. There's like, I need to commit to this. I need to put time into this. There's definitely, you need to encourage them to. And a lot of the time it has to be like, you show them that you're going to solve a pain for them. You're going to cure something for them. It doesn't always. I mean, sometimes it's easy. Sometimes they just go, oh, it looks good. But often, especially if it's a business show, you need to show that you're really going to cure a pain for them. You're really going to act as that painkiller. It could just be solving a problem, but yeah. So anyway, you need to think up that. You need to really delve into, I think, what those people are experiencing and what it is you're solving for them. And that's what goes into your description, it goes into your title, it goes into your artwork, all that stuff, because that's all of what draws people into listening in the first place. The next step, though, is how are you uniquely placed to solve it? So for me, in your ADPP show, was it just the fact that you'd done it, basically?
Yeah, I guess there was a bit of that, yeah. And we were the only people at that point who were doing a show like that.
Yeah.
And maybe still are. But
I think there was an aspect for you as well, that there was two of you.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of places that would write about that stuff, it's just one person writing about it. So one of your unique slants was that you were a team that could chat back and forth, and you had a bit of chemistry that actually made it more entertaining than just pure old teaching.
Yeah.
So that's a unique aspect to the way you did it, I think.
Yeah, we eventually started bringing interviewees in and stuff like that. But the bulk of it was a co-hosted discussion. So yeah, I guess that did give it a unique angle in a way, because we're talking about this niche. It's a very quiet space compared to a lot of business niches.
Yeah.
So if you're like in one particular topic where there's a lot of interview podcasts and it's the same rotation of interviewees, if you can step back from that and say, like, I'm going to do this on my own, or I'm going to do it with a co-host, that maybe makes it a bit more unique, if that makes sense. Yeah. Then, like, here's my list of guests, which are exactly the same list of guests as Podcast X and Podcast Y. So, yeah, it can help to be unique. I say it can help. It does help.
It does. It did. I think it definitely did. Yeah, that's cool. Okay, so yeah, so that's what you need to think as well. Why are you uniquely served to solve it? I mean, it can be, if you are on your own, it can be some combination of skills as well. So with Podcraft, for example, I think one of our unique aspects is the fact that my background is higher education combined with business. So I can actually think about ways to combine sort of teaching skills and think about really good ways to teach stuff with thought about how you actually create something successful, like from a business point of view or a sales point of view, that kind of stuff. So I think there's a unique combination of stuff there that is what I use to create content. So yeah, there's always going to be a unique combination of skills or something about you that makes you special. And that's what you need to delve into, that. You need to think about that, I think, because that goes into your description. That is another thing that persuades somebody to listen to you, as opposed to the five other shows that are talking about whatever topic you're talking about.
Mm.
Alrighty. I think that would tie up for who, actually. I think, actually, there's one last thing, secondary listeners, isn't there? Let's mention secondary listeners just quickly, because I think that that's your primary listener. Your primary listener is the listener that's going to complete your kind of your main call to action. So they're the one that is going to complete that aim that we talked about in the last episode, whether that's visit your website, whether it's join your email list, whether it's buy a product, whatever that is. But a secondary listener might actually achieve a secondary aim or something related to it. An example of that could be the mountain biking show I talked about earlier on. So my primary listener is somebody that's going to come along, learn about the equipment, maybe buy something and give me some affiliate income, because that would be a primary aim on the mountain biking show, to generate affiliate income. But a secondary listener could be an industry person. So they already know a fair bit about the kit. They don't need to know necessarily that much of what I'm talking about. They'll know a lot of what I'm talking about, but actually they're just interested enough to listen. And therefore, they might end up, you know, coming on the show. Or they might end up sending me some kit for review. So it's a secondary person, often somebody in the industry with you. You're not teaching them directly, but you still want to come to their attention. It's still worthwhile you developing those partnerships with them. So that's why I would say a secondary listener is. And it's worthwhile thinking about those people too, just because you're not going to tailor your content right for them, but you might find ways to kind of to sprinkle stuff in there particularly for them. And that can help grow your audience, I would say. Those people are often the ones that refer their customers or their audience to you. I think they're equal authorities in the area. Alrighty. That enough for avatars for now?
I think so, yeah. Okay, short and sweet. That's indeed what we're going for.
Indeed. So that was personas. That was avatars. That was who are you podcasting for. On the next episode, we're going to start to talk about formats and approaches. So we're going to talk about how you actually create your podcast, how you approach doing a podcast. So now we're getting down to the actual logistics. We're talking about how you're going to create the thing. So thanks again for joining us. Please do join us again in the next one. I'll finish up just by saying, if you want more help, if you want to get some live coaching, some courses around this, you want a full set of courses around how to launch your podcast, then we have all of that inside the Academy. That's kind of our premium level of support. We've got our podcast here. We're giving you the basics. We're giving you, showing you how to do it. But the Academy, we've got a community that can help you along the way. We can live support you in our live support sessions. We've also got a launch plan in there, which shows you every single step with a schedule, timeline, checkboxes, everything you need to know to get a show out there with the best way possible. If you want to see that, if you want to join up, join us in the Academy, go over to podcraft.net/academy, and it'd be great to see you in there. Otherwise, thanks again for joining me on the show, Matthew.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And thank you, listener, for coming and listening. And we'll see you on the next episode. Cheerio.